Community
radio.
Community radio for the San Francisco music scene.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
Hello, my friend. Ms. Prism here, coming at you live today, Monday, December 2nd, from the BFF.FM studios right here in the Mission in San Francisco. On a rather rainy, dark kind of Monday, really feels like winter right now. But that's perfect because it is winter and the holiday lights are up. The leaves are bright red, falling off the trees. And, you know, with the changing of the seasons, so much is shifting and it's really exciting. So, change is intense and can be frictional, but exciting and opens up space for the new to come on in. Let me drop on a track in the background here to just keep on grooving, and then I will let you know what we're up to today here on Nightlight Radio. Let's see if this works. Okay, there we go. All right, so as we get started here today, I wanted to thank you, first of all, so much for tuning in, because every week I'm so grateful to come up here in the studio and get to share some music live over the internet radio airwaves right into your ears. It's a super huge treat, and no matter what else is going on in life, it always reminds me what is underneath it all, which is just that connection, that good vibe, that rhythm of life, that harmonious, rainbow-like feel that we can drop into anytime we want. We just have to remember. So, I love life having all these reminders of, the perspective of gratitude, the perspective of optimism, the perspective of love, the perspective of abundance. And I know personally in my life, like, if I'm not feeling super energetic or if I'm feeling maybe stressed out, I can drop out of those positive perspectives and end up in like more of a negative realm. But those negative realms are not permanent. All it takes is a good reminder, like a cute dog or a good song or a hug from a friend or a tasty meal, a cup of tea, dancing it out, a pretty ray of sunshine, a rainbow, even a rainbow oil slick on the ground in this rain. All these little reminders to snap out of the negativity and get back into that harmonious good vibe that the world is so full of and is basically the gift of every single moment if we choose to accept it. So the reason I'm sharing with all that with you is I know in my own path, something that has been really transformative along the way has been yoga. And yoga is amazing. If you have never done yoga before, even if you're not interested that much in yoga, I definitely invite you to keep listening because you're going to learn a whole perspective on yoga that just might blow your mind and make you realize that you're doing yoga all the time, whether or not you even know you are. The roots of yoga are fascinating, and they stretch back thousands of years to India. And not only is yoga like what we think of as a traditional physical yoga practice with all those poses, but it's also like a mental and spiritual framework through which we can look at ourselves and our own lives and the world. And a lot of this wisdom is unified in what is referred to as the science of Ayurveda. And I've heard Ayurveda tossed around a lot. It's kind of a buzzword, at least here in the Bay Area these days, I would say, as a holistic alternative to Western medicine practices. It's like a holistic, natural kind of science. So anyways, I'm excited today because a very special expert is going to be sharing with us all about Ayurveda and some of his story and just a whole bunch of goodness like that. So our special guest's name is Mas Vidal. And I had the good fortune of meeting Mas at Bhakti Fest in September, in the end of September, two new moons ago. And Bhakti Fest. You can hear all about it in an episode here, actually, on Nightlight Radio. A few weeks back was Bhakti Fest theme. And this whole community has just really, 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 really inspired me. And I got to hear Mas Vidal speak at Bhakti Fest, and he was giving a talk on synthesizing Ayurveda with modern living. Because sometimes, you know, we hear about these practices and we're like, well, that's all really nice in theory to, you know, just be in like a state of mental bliss all the time. But how do we synthesize that with living in a fast-paced, ultra-connected, modern world? So I am so grateful to get to call Mas Vidal onto the show. We're going to enjoy another song first, and you can reflect a little bit on, you know, have you done yoga before? What are your feelings on yoga? Have you heard of Ayurveda before? Things like that. And if you have any specific questions that you'd like me to ask Mas today, you can go ahead and send me a message on like Instagram or a text message. I'm at ms.prism, and Mas Vidal is on Instagram at Yogi Mas Vidal. So you can go follow him right now too. And all these songs that we're hearing today, the first one that we heard was from Thievery Corporation from the 2005 album, The Cosmic Game. That one was called Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And I don't know exactly what that means, but that's kind of the fun of Sanskrit and yoga and all these songs that use those languages, because slowly but surely you get to understand the legends, the myths, the definitions behind all of these words that that harken back to like the beginning of language for humans. So we kicked off with that and then heard an instrumental song called Om Namah Shivaya from Yulara on the album Future Tribe. And the next track that we're going to hear, I am excited to share. It's from MC Yogi and features Bhagavan Das. It's from the album Elephant Power. And this track is called Om Namah Shivaya. So you'll get to enjoy MC Yogi's take on Shiva, who is one of the, like, one of the number one Hindu deities. There's Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. And Shiva is like the destroyer, the fiery god, lord of yoga. And Mas Vidal, his website is actually Dancing Shiva. Let's see. Let me make sure I get this right. Okay, well, it's in the show. The show notes. Is it dancingshiva.org? Dancingshiva.com. Yeah. Okay. Dancingshiva.com. And if you look up an image of Dancing Shiva, that's the album art. So if you look at the, or the episode art for this week is an image of Dancing Shiva. So you've probably seen it before. You'll probably see it again. And I'm excited to get to share with you a little bit more about Shiva, Ayurveda, yoga, and it's all thanks to Mas Vidal. So let's enjoy this track from MC Yogi featuring Bhagavan Das. And then in just a few minutes, we will get Mas Vidal up here live on the BFF.fm internet radio airwaves. I'm your host, Ms. Prism, and you're listening to Nightlight Radio, episode 89.
Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Om Namah Shivaya.
Now I bow to Shiva with love and respect. I invoke him with the slogan, so I'm open to connect with devotion, cause I'm knowing that he's always in effect. In deep meditation with a snake around his neck, he's the husband of Parvati, Mahashakti, and he rides a white bull, the vehicle Nandi. He's Ganapati's father, Mr. Mahadev, and the Ganges flow down from the crown of his head. A crescent moon rests right next to his dreads. He's the god of the dead, covered in ash, with a smile on his face. His compassion is vast. He lives in a place called Mount Kailash, in the Himalayan kingdom, known as his home, in the shape of a lake.
Singam is a rolling stone. To the king of all yogi, Shankara Shambho, singing Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah. God of disaster, and if you don't invite him, he's the party crasher. To the old school mystic, who's non-dualistic, Shiva guides my mind so that I can shift it away from a place that's materialistic into a space that's more holistic. Magnetic, ascetic, you make my soul shine. You awaken the snake at the base of the spine. Third eye wide open in a yoga pose. You show us how to focus so the lotus unfolds. And deep concentration with breath control. Returning to the source, now you feel the force flow. When the jiva meets shiva, opposites become whole. Singing Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah Om.
Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya.
So it won't expire. When it's time to die, just take off its attire. Exhale to let go of the ego's desire. Let your soul be inspired to shine even brighter, like Shiva Nataraja, the one that I admire. Dancing on a demon in a burning ring of fire. Mahadev, it's been said that your pure auspiciousness and your known-as truth, consciousness and bliss, creating, devastating, and always transforming. You save the whole world when you swallowed up the poison, destroying bad habits, ignorance and greed. Practicing detachment, compassion and peace. To the king of all yogis, offer these prayers. To the lord of meditation living in the Himalayas.
FM is an award-winning community radio station coming to you 24/7 from the heart of San Francisco.
I love BFF.FM because of what it represents, you know, a uniting of the local music community.
The diversity of shows is way more fun than any kind of commercial radio you might find.
Become a monthly donor and you'll be connected to a cool community of music lovers helping us build strong community radio for San Francisco. Our besties.
I get to go to these cool bestie bashes and I get to have a sweet members only pin and I get to feel like I'm contributing to the community.
Join us at bff.fm/donate.
bff.fm.
Streaming with my besties.
All right. You're listening to BFF.FM, and I'm your host, Ms. Prism. Really pumped right now because this is about to be the second called in interview here on Nightlight Radio. So live radio is always an adventure with just all the factors of what comes together to be making the live show. So I'm excited that things are working pretty well today, but I'm working on getting this little FaceTime call to go through. And I'm not sure why it's not showing up, but rest assured in just a second here that we will be calling Masvidal himself right here into the BFF.FM studio. All right. But anyways, I'm curious, yeah, if you've done any chanting before yourself, if you've heard of Shiva, kind of how new all of this is to you. And one thing I'm excited to hear from Moss about as well is with music, it's a huge component of yoga. Like every yoga class, you know, people will be saying Om at the beginning and end. All right, let me just text Moss and maybe he can FaceTime me. And then I will give you a little intro for him so that you know more about Masvidal before he gets on on the air. Okay, thanks for hanging on there. all right. Okay, so Masvidal just released a book, actually, called The Sun, the Moon, and Ayurveda. The Sun, the Moon, and Earth, The Sacred Relationship of Yoga and Ayurveda. And that is what it really comes down to, is the sun and the moon that we've talked about here on Nightlight Radio. Are constantly giving and receiving to each other. So, okay, I'm actually going to plug in Moss to this output. Let's see if this works. Hi, Moss.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, oh my gosh, thank you for FaceTiming me. I'm sorry we had a little technical difficulty, but this worked out and I can hear you just fine right now through the FaceTime airwaves. So,
okay. And will this be video or audio?
It's actually just going to be audio.
Okay.
So I'll probably kind of like rest the phone down so that I can monitor the things. But you can keep the video on if you feel like it.
Oh, okay. And is FaceTime different than a regular phone? Wouldn't it be a better signal with the phone, because FaceTime uses more
yes
energy.
Actually, yeah, because I was hoping to get it through my computer, but for some reason it rang only on my phone, so I just answered on my phone. But yeah, you could call me back on FaceTime using only the audio, or on regular phone and I can answer and it'll work.
Okay, why don't I do that? I'll just call you on the regular phone.
Okay, sounds good.
Is it the same line?
Yes, yeah, it is.
Okay, give me one second. I'll call you right back.
All right, thanks, Moss. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for bearing with us, listener. And thank you to Moss for bearing with me as well. All right, here we go. Hello, Moss.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, I can hear you just great through this.
Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
That's great. I was just about to give listeners a little intro of a little bit more about you. I was just mentioning the book and talked a little bit about yoga and Ayurveda and Bhakti Fest, where we got to connect. And so I'm really grateful to welcome you onto the air and get to have you share your wisdom and knowledge with our BFF.FM listeners and this show, Nightlight Radio, with our Nightlight Radio community. I'm super excited because I was so inspired by your talk and Ayurvedic wisdom to just keep getting that word out there. How are you doing?
Great. Oh, good. Thank you. Just plugging along here, trying to stay warm and, you know, eat those foods that keep me balanced and keep doing the routine as we go through each month of the year. You know, different things change, and So just trying to stay focused with that and work and travel. And so the life of yoga and Ayurveda is always a little different, you know. Mm-hmm. So we view the world a little differently and try to approach each day in a different way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like getting to learn about Ayurveda at this time of year was really cool, because with it being the fall season and like all the leaves are changing and then like the windy season, was making me think about, yeah, it's just a good time to be learning about like how we can take from this ancient wisdom and learn how it applies to us, like whether or not we maybe do yoga, like Ayurveda is still something that can help all people, it seems.
Yes. Yep. Yep. It definitely can. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, when will you give me a cue as to exactly when we're going to start, or?
Oh, we are. We're on the air.
Oh, we are on the air. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, I'll give you more thorough answers. Okay.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Ayurveda is for everybody. And America, in particular, needs Ayurveda more than anyone or any culture in the world, because Ayurveda helps bring people, humanity, into relationship with natural laws. And American culture, partly to do with our history, partly to do with the structure of our democracy, is breaking up the relationship that humans have with natural laws. In the more basic sense, I would say that's just nature. And what we're seeing is two factions. One, there's a faction of people that are fed up, stressed out, and running themselves to death because of the society that pulls people to feel successful based on how much money, materialistic things they have, and attain certain statuses that we credit or value as successful. And those individuals are hitting a wall after a decade or two in that world, and they're running back to nature. They want to live in quieter places. They want to live in more rural landscapes. They don't want a 9-to-5 job. They want more freedom. They want more time to do self-healing and walking and meditation and cooking and things that they found themselves saying, gosh, I wish I had time for that. I can't wait to get to doing that. So that's one group of people that we see. And then there's the other side, that there's a whole culture that seems to be fanatical about the urban life, the concrete life, the life of faster is better, computers, and constantly buzzing their mind and stimulating their minds, and thinking that that's what feeds them and that's what really brings them happiness. So there's two streams, and the groups that we work with as healers and teachers are those individuals that finally hit that breaking point. And that's what Ayurveda teaches us, is you have a relationship with a grander force. Whether you're aware of that or not, that force controls your life to a certain degree, and there's only so much of your life you have control over. If you misuse those capacities and those aspects of your life that you do have control over, eventually those things will turn you to look another way. And that way is the way of nature. That way is the way of looking within yourself. And nobody gets away with it. You can't disregard natural law. You can't disregard the power of consciousness, which supports every living thing. Everyone who thinks they're living this grand life and this life of the external world is living in a world of illusion and delusion. And eventually, they will have to learn this lesson the hard way, sadly. And those are the people that eventually come saying, gosh, I lost my health. I've lost my wealth. What can I do? I want to feel better again. I want to sleep good again. I want to digest again. I have no energy. I'm depressed. I have a Porsche. I have a big house, but I'm still not happy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sit down. Let's start. So this is the message of Ayurveda. And it's not just a little rubby-dubby of some oils when you have a little free time. It's not just spicing up your morning drink with some chai type of tea, or, you know, just changing your diet or having somebody cook for you. It's a lifestyle. It's a way that you live on this planet that allows you to learn from people, from places and things, that all of those things become your teacher. It's not just this robotic structure that Ayurveda explains in its great text thousands of years ago. It says, do this, do that, do this, do that. That's the practical side of it. But the mystical side of that is to understand and grow from the world and learn to see where you need to improve, what are your obstacles, what are your weaknesses, and to grow in your capacity to be blissful and happy and content doing and living a simple life. Mm. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love hearing all that, Mas. And I totally, as someone who's lived here in San Francisco for like going on 8 years now, I feel like I've reached a point where like I've been seeking that calm side of life and that consistent feeling good instead of the like up and down roller coaster of life. But like I know in my own experience, like I can see how all those ups and downs of life led me to really appreciating, not only yoga, but looking at the world in a perspective that holds a lot of those Ayurvedic threads, which is why I was so excited hearing your talk and thinking mm-hmm. about how this could all impact, like so many people in San Francisco love yoga and practice it. And I loved in your book how you talked about like how in this American Western culture, the ways in which the wisdom has like been shifted and morphed, and how now we're having the chance, thanks to like books like yours and learning from Ayurvedic practitioners, that we can see through the American version of like yoga and these traditions mm-hmm. and try to find what was like behind all of that.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And I'll make it simple to summarize what the broadest theme in my book is that yoga alone is not enough, and especially not Americana yoga. Why? Because any system that originates as an integral system, a holistic approach to healing and spiritual evolution, that becomes fragmented, that means when you break it apart and make it mostly about one thing, physicality in our Western world, it becomes weak and it becomes ineffective to deliver its message, its promise. And what is that promise? It's happiness. It's contentment. It's abundance. The scriptures, the great teachings, the gurus that have carried these lineages for thousands of years have continually pounded that same message over and over and over again. But I have to tell you, when I see that and I see the representatives of that tradition in the physical systems of Western yoga, I don't see the message of happiness, abundance. I see people that are broken. I see people that are incomplete, that are struggling with balance in their own lives, that aren't sleeping well. And that tells me the system isn't working for you. And you need to question not what you're doing, but how you're doing it. I'm not saying that yoga, any form of yoga, is not good for someone, but it's how you do that yoga. We have to teach people that you have to cultivate a new attitude in how you teach and how you practice. Because if you're getting super flexible and you're analyzing how technical you are in your twists and your back bends, I'm sorry, but you're missing the boat. You're standing on the dock and the boat has passed the dock long ago. It has nothing to do with what is happening to your physical body. It has to do with a shift in your perspective, a shift in your attitude, and a shift largely on the emotional level. And what does that mean? That means that now you walk around in the world and you can see and experience the events of this world, but not become the world and not become triggered by the world and become a bunch of buttons because everybody is doing wrong or our president is a bad person. And if yoga is making you more sensitive, and I mean this in the reactive sense, that you have to constantly recreate what you see in this world, then you need to question what you've done to yoga and how you're approaching it. And this is an important thing I wanted to get out in my book, because we, in this culture, and don't get me wrong, I love America, you know, I was raised here, but we tend to look at things and work with things on a very superficial level, and we give valuation to things based on a very external perspective, and we don't look at how things feel. We look at things more as how they appear and how we think them to be. And this is so important. And this is, I'm grateful that you are giving people the opportunity to hear this on your show, because people are needing this more and more today than ever before. You know, we didn't have technology 20, 30, 40 years ago. We were writing letters. We were talking on a telephone and leaving messages on an answering machine that you would take 10 hours. At the end of the day, you would get to your messages, or the next day. And so faster, faster, faster ramps up your thought processes, and it takes you away from here, right now. There is only this moment. And the more you slow down and connect to that moment-to-moment consciousness, the less mistakes you will make in your life. And this is why this teaching is so important. You know, people think Ayurveda is just rubby-dubby, let's fix and heal the body. But there's a deeper psycho-spiritual effect that Ayurveda does to the mind. it links you, it synchronizes you to the seasons, to the sunrise, to the sunset, and to this tremendous power that exists in all living things. And I can tell you that a computer doesn't live. It's a fabrication. It's a concoction. When I say refer to something that lives, that means that it is born of elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And it requires prana, air, water, and sunlight to give it life, right? Mm-hmm. Because people would say, well, yeah, my computer has a life, it's got structure. Yeah, but that's a separate entity that's created by a human being. I'm talking about nature's creation. And the same things that we have inside of yourself are in nature. You know, your metabolism changes in December because the sun's position has changed. So you're completely mimicking what's going on in the universal realm. So I'll leave you with your next point from there.
Yeah, totally. That was amazing. There's so much in there. Like the question that is coming to mind sort of most potently in this moment is with yoga, like I see it as a gateway to Ayurveda, even if maybe we discover it in a studio here in America that's not like following all those traditions, like it could still open our awareness, like through the Om in class or a little chanting or some of the words, since the poses are in Sanskrit. And I feel like that can kind of like lead to Ayurveda. And so I'm curious with like, how do people, like you were saying, you know, people get fed up with the lifestyle and that's when people feel tired and they are seeking something else. And like, but what are the ways in which people can discover Ayurveda?
Yeah, I think that is a great point. And I do think yoga is the doorway into Ayurveda. The main thing I think that needs to happen is that, again, it's not as much what we do, but how we do it, is that we need to teach, and this is for the thousands upon thousands of yoga, hatha yoga centers that exist throughout the country, that's asana yoga, they need to teach it with a different intention. First and foremost, we need to teach people that flexibility is not your goal, okay? And because you're not flexible doesn't mean that you aren't gaining or benefiting from yoga, okay? So the result of doing yoga should not be to be more flexible. So that's the first point, I would say. Second point is that we need to encourage three aspects, and this is important. One, connection to the body. Two, calming or slowing of the mind, which brings more concentration. Three, relaxation. Those three in Raja Yoga are known as asana, pranayama, and pratyahara. So it's connection to the stillness, the seat of the temple. The body is the temple. Calming the mind so that it becomes more focused or concentrated mind. And then teaching people to relax. That those steps become a transformational process that create what yoga is known as a transcendental system. It changes you and it makes you more receptive to a system like Ayurveda. One of the reasons why Ayurveda is not more popular is because the yoga is not being taught in that way. And so people don't change their relationship to their body, to their mind, in the way that these traditions have kind of taught and encouraged us to do. So either way, I think it's ultimately depends on a person's karma. And if their evolutionary stage is ripe and ready for Ayurveda, then it will naturally start to enter in. And I think the first step would be a plant-based diet. I think the biggest, the most prominent step, the boldest initiative that anyone can take, and it is, and I would say it is Ayurvedic, because the yoga Ayurveda traditions are based on non-violence, is for a person to follow a vegetarian or plant-based diet. That alone will reform your body-mind relationship. It will promote balance, strength, energy, and longevity. And at the same time, it will change and impact this planet like nobody's business. It's that easy. We spend tens of millions of dollars complaining and pointing the finger about global warming and forcing states and countries to take stronger initiatives to change global warming, because we're not going to see the world because of its impact, and we're going to ruin our natural environment. But nobody disagrees that the greatest contributor to the greenhouse gases is cattle and the raising of cattle. And why aren't we spending tens of millions of dollars and changing the story instead of trying to change the tailpipes on cars? Why aren't we getting animals out of slaughter farms and allowing them to live on this planet in an ethical, peaceful way, just the way every human being is? If environment is your initiative, then change your diet. No one, no scientist, no researcher will disagree that it's the cattle business that contributes to it the most. But yet nobody wants to change. They don't want to go that way. Why? Because of the control groups, the all of the different lobbyists and the government agencies that are involved with the finances around these industries that are part of people's lifestyle. They want to eat a certain way. This supports restaurants, hotels, spas, grocery stores, on and on the chain, the domino effect. So that is Ayurveda. It's a Dharma tradition, that what you do for yourself must equally benefit the society and the world around you. That's the difference between science and spirituality. Science doesn't recognize and won't embrace that what you do has an equal effect or an impact on everyone and the grander around you. Spirituality does. And this is Ayurveda. This is the basis for a lifestyle tradition. Ayur, relationship, or wisdom, or science of living in that knowledge, Veda. And that's where yoga and Ayurveda have to be together. They can't be practiced, you know, and I point that out in my book. And you look at all the lineages, Shivananda, Yogananda, the Ramakrishna Vedanta Society, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, Amachi, all the living greats, and these lineages all know Ayurveda. They offer Ayurvedic services at their ashrams. All the gurus are taking the different herbal medicines. They're doing the treatments. They're recommending their devotees to do these things. But when you get to the yoga system in the West, people are trying to bring chiropractic in, Chinese medicine, the raw diet or the keto diet. And they're trying to bring in all of these new inventions. I'm not saying that Chinese medicine's a new invention, but they're bringing in other systems that weren't originally aligned with the tradition. And this is what I'm encouraging people to do is to, I've seen it work in my life. It's brought me balance, and I've seen it work in thousands and thousands of people. I've reformed myself, and I've been able to reform thousands in yoga and Ayurveda. And I know many more will experience that because it's a timeless tradition. It wasn't invented by one person. It has no beginning, no end. It comes from the sun, from the moon, and from the earth. And they were given to us as a secret gift. And I often say this, that God consciousness, the great intelligence of this universe, had to leave us a key somewhere on this planet. And my view is he left it in nature, and he especially left it, or she especially left it for us in India. And thank God and the goddesses that you left us a way out of here. And you gave us a wisdom tradition, not one book, but many books. If we look at the modern religions or systems, they follow one book. This tradition follows many books. There is no one book. Many upon many, and thousands upon thousands of books explaining the vastness, the power of this incredible system. And everyone has to find the way it works for them. That's why there's no perfect diet. And to say that this diet or that diet is the solution and that everyone should start following it, when you hear that, run. And when somebody says, my yoga is the best yoga, you run again. Because it's all based on the individual, and every person must find that for themselves. You know, some people need to eat this, some people need to eat that, some people need to do more back bends and more pranayama, and other people need to do, you know. So anyways, you get the point. It's all very individualistic. You know, if you want to love God as a woman, go for it. You should. And that's what I love about it. There's just this all inclusiveness. Everyone's invited. We're all in this together.
It's like we're all in it, whether or not we even know we're in it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's true. And that can be a challenging situation because a lot of people are in it. They don't know they're in it. And they eventually do find it, but it doesn't always come the easy way. It comes with a lot of struggle and strife.
Totally.
You know, we get pummeled, beat up, and then we're crawling on our yoga mat. Help me. Yeah.
Crawling so. Right off the yoga mat. Now that we know even more about Ayurveda, now we know that. Yeah, crawl off the mat, crawl our way into the internet, find an Ayurvedic practitioner like you, or like I remember you mentioned Ayurveda students are all around as an accessible way to get an Ayurvedic reading so that we can discover what is our own constitution and how does like what Ayurvedic principles could work for each of us based on what time it is of year and our own makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, now we've got a lot of schools out there. My school's been around for years. And I'm proud, and I have, you know, I really love what the graduates of our school are doing. They're implementing Ayurveda. They're even learning the astrology system that goes along with the Ayurveda, so that you can connect your rising sign, your moon sign, and your sun sign, and how that impacts your constitution, your dosha type. And it's amazing. I mean, they look at someone and they go, yeah, look here, I see fires and affecting you, and your digestion is really extreme, and you're losing hair, and you're, you know, and here's what you do. And it's like, wow, it worked. I actually feel better. Yeah. I mean, it has a remarkable effect, and it's so practical. It's so simple in that way. And remember that it what's wonderful about it, and this is what I convinced me, is that the teaching is something that we want to share with everyone, so that the healing is not dependent or codependent upon the practitioner or the doctor that you have to keep calling. No, it's the opposite. We're trying to make you independent and give you that knowledge so that you can heal yourself. You can bring it into your family life, to your children, and pass that on. And thankfully, India, over thousands of years, and God bless that country for the oppression and all of the wars and the invaders that it went through, was able to keep this tradition going. And they were able to do that with the families, and they kept it in, handing it down from family to family, because the schools were gone, the books were destroyed, and here we are, it's back again, and it's catching up with yoga, and the two are coming together, this perfect balance of sun and moon. You know, yoga is the solar tradition to awaken the soul in us, the sun. And Ayurveda is a great lunar tradition, you know, that brings us that healing and that compassion of mind, body, and earth to connect us to the earth. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is it almost like where the earth, like there's the sun, the moon, and where the earth in the middle?
Yeah, yes, they do. You know, I often say, you know, the moon's very close to the earth. That's why you see it so big in the sky. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stars and other things around. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of space, but the closest relationship of any two planets is between the moon and the earth. And that's symbolic of the relationship between the mother and the child. Mm-hmm. What the mother does while impregnated over those 9 months impacts the child for the rest of their life. And then afterwards as well, during upbringing, in those first 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother is a very important relationship. And this is where Ayurveda comes in. Ayurveda is our relationship to the moon and the earth. The earth is our body, you know. So use the wisdom of the moon. The moon, you know, affects us. It changes mood. Our moon, moon is mine. Moon is the month, right? The menstrual cycle, menses, all that comes from moon's impact on the body and the earth too, because the moon obviously impacts the earth in a very substantial way. So
yes, Moss, that is so awesome to hear.
Thank you.
And
thank
I'm so you. Appreciative that you were able to call in today.
Well, I appreciate you, and it's people like you that help spread the wisdom and help change people's lives. We need that more and more. You follow what you do, you're following your purpose. And when you follow your purpose, everything comes back to you.
Mm.
You know?
Thanks for saying that. And thanks so much for following your purpose to such a degree that it's just helping, like you said, thousands and thousands of people. And hopefully in this lifetime, it affects millions and millions of people. And the cultural revolution you mentioned at Bhakti Fest will just keep coming. And everyone will acknowledge Ayurveda and yoga and all of that stuff. And I'm excited about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. We're all part of it. And let's see how we can work together and stay in touch. I do travel and I have different events, not just in California. I mean, I'm mainly based in San Diego. I do a lot of things in Encinitas and Ojai and LA, and occasionally, it's been a while, San Francisco, but I'm also all over the US. I'm in Mexico. I do programs in China and Hong Kong, India. So it's a global movement. Everyone is becoming aware of the power of yoga and the power of Ayurveda and the potential these traditions have to have the. Yeah.
We're about to be cut off in 30 seconds. Oh, so okay. I wanted to tell listeners to go to dancingshiva.com. It's dancingshiva.com. And you can connect with Mas Vidal there and find him on Instagram and just get all of this Ayurvedic wisdom that he's been so kind to share with us today on BFF.fm. Mas, you rock. Much love.
Thank you. Namaste. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Blessings.
Blessings. Okay.